The Gospel can be found on page 980 in the Church Bibles, or page 1735 in the large print Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, life is full of decisions, isn't it? I've recently realised that, moving from one place to a new place, moving house. Lots of decisions along the way, more than I expected. Decisions about what we keep and what we throw away. Decisions about where things go in the new house. Decisions about the things that we still need. What would fit? Well, we found that a lot of those decisions that we've made in the last few weeks, we haven't actually done a very good job of. So quite a few things have had to be packaged up and sent back. We've had to make the most of that 28-day money-back guarantee. But it's also the case that some of the biggest decisions we make in life don't come with a 28-day money-back guarantee. And we have to live with the choices that we make. Where should I be investing my time? Should I apply for this job? Should I leave this job? Is now the moment to speak up? Is now the moment to keep quiet and let things go? Again and again, we come to a fork in the road. And inevitably, as the decisions we've made in life accumulate, and the implications of each one become clear, we can start to become haunted by regret. The what-ifs in our lives as we think back. Things we could have done differently. Things we could have seen more clearly at the time. Whether that's in our family and home life, or whether that's in our work life. Regret is a particular battleground for me. My wife will, I'm sure, tell you that there's plenty of lamenting spilt milk that goes on in our house. I'm not very good at kind of letting things go when I have made a mistake. And lots of us feel under pressure to use our time and our resources well, not to make mistakes, so that we can achieve those things we've been striving for, those things we've set our heart on, whether they're small or great. And I've met many who live their lives under quite a dark shadow of things that could have been done differently in their past. Disasters that could have been avoided. Sorrow that could have instead been joy. So what is it that Jesus would say to us in the midst of this swirling confusion of decisions and regrets? Well, here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus points us to a decision made by two figures, two characters, a decision that doesn't require any agonizing. You see, there's no totting up of the pros and cons in two columns here. Both are convinced straight away that they found something of more value and importance than anything they'd ever laid eyes on before that moment. It would have put into perspective all the other decisions and regrets they had in the past. Because here they were, confronted by the most valuable thing they'd ever seen, the most valuable thing they'd ever encountered. Well, let's dig into these verses. I'm sure they might be familiar to some of us, but there's lots here, even in these short verses, for us to take away. So in the first, we have what appears to be an accidental discovery. We don't quite know what this man does with his time, but for some reason he's come across treasure hidden in what looks like a plain, ordinary field. And as soon as he sees it, he knows he has struck gold. This is something of great worth. And with a big beaming smile on his face, he rushes to buy the field. Many would have thought him crazy. It's just a field. Why are you so excited? And perhaps more to the point, why are you selling everything you have to buy this field? Are you sure this is a good investment? Many might ask us the same question. You see, to many, the Christian faith just looks like a plain old field, like many others, nothing of great value or importance. And many would think, why is it that you're so excited about what you've found? Surely you're mistaken. Is this the right decision? There's a hiddenness to what's here. But the man who goes to buy that field is convinced, I found it. This is worth everything. And in the second little parable that Jesus tells, we have a slightly different angle. A merchant who knows what he's looking for. Fine pearls. Fine pearls, plural. Perhaps he's a buyer and seller of fine jewellery. And he knows that if he buys just the right things, he'll be able to build a portfolio, and that will enable him to keep buying the next thing. And he'll be able to build up wealth for himself. But when he finds this one pearl of great value that surprises him just by its sheer beauty and worth, everything else gets sold. His whole portfolio. It's almost as if his entire activity ceases because he's found something of such beauty and such value. He too goes and sells everything he has just to buy this pearl. So in both cases, there's a certain amount of hiddenness. I'm sure the person selling the pearl to that merchant didn't quite understand its worth. It's a bit like those episodes of Cash in the Attic or those other programs you get where people sort of bring the antiques that they've found and they try and get an expert to say whether they're worth that much. And they're not quite sure. They've sort of wondered. But they can't be sure whether it's worth anything. And they bring it to an expert. And often it's not of great value. It might be interesting history. But every now and again, something that's been overlooked for years and years and years is found to be of great worth. I was reading in the newspaper just this week of a rock star who was given a canvas that he didn't think much of at the time, and he put it away in a locker. And just recently, he's realised that it was painted by Andy Warhol. It's worth millions and millions of pounds, and it's just been sitting in a locker. He didn't think it was of any worth. Moments like this, where there's a hiddenness to the value, and then its true value is discovered. But what else do we have here? In both decisive action. It's a decision that's easy to make for these two once they've realised the value. They both realise that everything else in life has to stop. They have to have this treasure. They'd be mad to turn it down. It puts everything else in their lives, every achievement that they've made in their lives, everything else into perspective, everything else pales into insignificance. This was the experience of the Apostle Paul. He writes in Philippians 3, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And we know from the New Testament that Paul truly did give up a lot, very highly respected, lots to boast in, wealth and comfort and status. People listened when he spoke. And yet he encounters Jesus famously on that road. And everything changes. He loses his respect. He loses his wealth. And the rest of his life is spent treasuring Christ. And that took him through tremendous suffering. He was scorned and rejected by many. He often went somewhere to preach and was chased back out of that city. He was stoned, whipped, beaten. And as he writes these words in Philippians, it's highly likely he's festering away in a prison cell. Rumours are circulating about the fact that he may not actually be that great after all. Christians are starting to wonder whether he could truly be the apostle he claims. He's not respected, and yet he treasures Christ at that moment, he realizes that everything else in his life was garbage compared to what he has now. So what exactly is the treasure? That's perhaps the puzzle that we have. Well, in the Gospels, it encompasses everything that the arrival of Jesus brings. As the king arrives, a new kingdom sweeps into view. He's the true prophet, priest, and king. The hymn writer Isaac Watts puts it well, I think, in the famous Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its king. Joy to the earth, the Saviour reigns. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. It's easy for us to have too small a view of the kingdom of heaven. It's a slightly mysterious thing that's a little bit like a membership card we might put in our wallet, and it gives us some extra benefits every now and again. No, the kingdom of heaven reaches into every corner of the universe. It brings liberation from the curse of sin and death and brokenness. Liberation from all the things that plague our lives and the lives of those we know. It brings blessings through Christ. That passage in Romans 8 we had read to us speaks of the wonderful blessings. Even in times of great suffering, the wonderful blessings we know in Christ. Maybe something for us to reflect on as we go away from here reading those verses. Well, what does Jesus call us to? Well, it's striking that he doesn't call us to anything he's not prepared to do himself. Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus sat at the right hand of God. But to seek after that meant Jesus forsaking everything he was entitled to as God, being found in likeness of a man, humbling himself to be like a servant, and then to a shameful, lonely, painful death. In pursuit of that great treasure, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus truly gave up everything for the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. He brought it in through great cost to himself. So he calls us to that, following in his footsteps. What will it mean for us to take to heart that call that Jesus offers to us? Well, let me tell you about someone I know who about 10 years ago had his entire life turned upside down. He was very successful. Once he graduated from university, he quickly rose through the ranks at the BBC, much quicker than everyone expected. He just had a real gift for knowing what was needed at the right time. He was soon working with the sort of most difficult high-paid celebrities they had at the BBC, and he was seen as the person who could get the best from them. And he was moved from show to show to try and improve different things that were going on. And then 10 years ago, a scandal hit. He'd made a decision about something that was aired because he thought it was funny. He thought it would get the ratings up. But it turned out it was an awful decision to make, a decision that caused great hurt and great consequences. And in that moment, a man who seemed to have it all, he was engaged to a minor celebrity, he was appearing in all the glossy magazines, a very comfortable life, all the success he could have wanted. At that moment, he realized that he'd been holding Jesus at arm's length, grown up as the son of a vicar. But he'd never taken seriously the person of Jesus. He thought, I'll go my own way. I'll find things out for myself. But as his world came crashing down around him, he realized, I've missed out on the treasure of knowing Christ. He broke off his engagement. He sold the CDs and books that he realized had defined him. He wanted to be a person with his finger on the pulse. But he realized that that was nothing now compared to knowing Christ. He quit his job at the BBC. And he moved out to Far East Asia, to somewhere where he now lives in obscurity, helping drug addicts in a slum. No one knows about him anymore. But there he is, treasuring Christ. You see, he too found treasure in the kingdom of heaven. And decisive action was what he felt he needed to do. For us, well, maybe as we sit in front of an open Bible, maybe we need to discover once again the treasure of hearing how good it is to really be God's people under God's rule. Even in the now and not yet of waiting for so many things to be fully realized. As we go through the pain of life in this world, do we realize the treasure of having God's living words there for us? Psalm 119 captures this brilliantly. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. What a privilege to have the living God guide us through life. I need to take that to heart, to treasure God's words, God's speaking to us. Maybe we've got regrets from decisions in the past. Maybe there are things that haunt us. But have we allowed this decision, the decision to treasure Christ, to treasure his kingdom, have we allowed that decision to mean that all those other regrets and things in our past actually start to sort of fade into the background? They don't define us. We don't need to be haunted by them anymore. We have the thing of surpassing value, of greatest worth. Maybe we need to ask ourselves how many of the decisions that we make in our lives can only be explained by the kingdom of heaven. Is there a hiddenness to the way we live? Great challenge to me as I was reading these verses. If the answer is that not many of the decisions we make can only be explained by the kingdom of heaven, then maybe we need to allow the challenge of these verses to change the way that we do life, the decisions we make. Maybe there's a challenge here for us to share the news of this treasure with others, to go out with joy, and to point others to where this treasure can be found. Maybe we're actually already giving and serving sacrificially in a really appropriate way, an appropriate response to the kingdom of heaven. But what we need to do is to rediscover the joy that's here. So easy for our Christian service and Christian activity to become a bit wearisome, done out of duty. Maybe we need to stand with that man in the field, gazing down on the treasure. Stand alongside him and see once again, see afresh, just how amazing it is what comes to us in Christ. Maybe we need to gaze into that pearl and see its value. And let the joy of Christ fill our hearts once more. Well, I'm going to leave us just to reflect for a moment before we close on what it might mean for us. The author Tim Keller puts it like this: the most rapturous delights you have ever had in the beauty of a landscape, or in the pleasure of good food, or in the fulfillment of a loving embrace, are like dewdrops compared to the bottomless ocean of joy that it will be to see God face to face. Heavenly Father, please help us to treasure the kingdom of heaven above all else. Please, by your Spirit, show us in our hearts the places where we have not yet fully realized the surpassing worth of what you bring to us. Help us to be those who set our hearts in your kingdom and not elsewhere. Please keep challenging us to live lives that can only be explained by what we've discovered and what we've been offered in Christ. Amen.